on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of YoteCast. We're back for another week. It's the final week of the regular season in basketball, so whenever you're able to listen to this, maybe the games are done, maybe we're in between the two games. However it may be, it's the final week of the regular season for basketball. What a crazy time. It just goes by. It seems like so fast that we get through the basketball seasons. But here we are, end of the regular season, and now we're gearing up for the Summit League tournament. By the time we do this next week, we'll be ready for the upcoming Summit League tournament. So, obviously, things moving very, very quickly, and that reminds us all, you know, for women's basketball, I hope there's a big crowd on Saturday for Senior Day. These seniors have been an incredible part of women's basketball at the University of South Dakota, and they have just been phenomenal people. Liv Corngable, Hannah Shervin, Reagan Sankey, Chloe Lamb, all have contributed in different ways, and it seems like, you know, Chloe, it seems like yesterday that she was making a name for herself with a big shot in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center as a young player. Then you have Hannah, who transferred, and we're all like excited to get her into the fold because we're interested to see how good she could be. And then you have Liv, who worked for, you know, a couple of years and kept grinding, and then all of a sudden came onto the scene and started scoring, was a scoring machine. That was a big part of the women's basketball, and Reagan's been a part of it, obviously, her entire career as well. So, big group of seniors, and should be a fun Senior Day weekend for South Dakota women's basketball. So just make sure to get out and support them and show them that you have appreciated what they've given to the program the last several years. Just a big part of what the women's basketball, and this, who knows what happens with women's basketball going forward, because you never know in sports, right? Teams go through ups and downs and whatever, but this feels like one of the great eras of women's basketball in South Dakota, one of the great senior classes in the history of the program. So get out and show them you appreciate it. If you're able to make it, go to goyotes.com for ticket information. A couple of things in the football news from the weekend, or the week, I guess we should say. Chris Streveler, former Coyote quarterback, has signed with Miami Dolphins, so he'll get another chance there. And Tyson Graham, former Coyote football player, has been drafted in the USFL, which is set to go here in the coming weeks. And so it'll be interesting to see how those guys continue to do. But really excited for both of those guys. I always thought those guys were not only good football players at USD, but also just really good people to talk to and whatnot. So Tyson and Chris, congratulations on the next opportunity. And go make the most of it. Do everything you can to make the most of it. Coming up in the show today, we're going to talk some indoor track and field with Dylan Couts. We will also talk to Liv Corngable, one of those seniors I talked about. And we get it started this week with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. Now, whenever this podcast is published, know that everything that we talk about was done prior to whatever announcement is made about women's basketball in Western Illinois, right? The women's basketball game against Western Illinois was postponed, and there are a lot of options that the league has considered. We thought maybe an announcement would come on Wednesday, but it did not. And as of the time that this podcast was put together, an announcement has not been made. So that's why you're not going to hear a little bit about that. But we will talk with David Herbster about the process of kind of trying to figure out what to do with those games. So maybe by the time you listen to this, that information is outdated because there's been an announcement by the league. Maybe by the time you listen to this, it has not been made yet, and so it's all valuable. But at least you can understand, regardless of if there's an announcement, you can kind of understand the stance and the direction of the mindset of Athletic Director David Herbster and what he has been fighting for and kind of how the conversations have gone in the league. So we'll start this week with David Herbster. David, the basketball seasons and a lot of the winter sports seasons coming to a close. Obviously, it's the final home week for women's basketball. We'll get into that in just a little bit. You know, last week when we had our conversation and it came out, we were just starting or kind of in the middle, I guess, of Unite for USD. And I know that went until a little bit into the men's basketball game last Thursday, but a really solid 2-day effort trying to raise funds, not only for athletics, but for the university as a whole.
Yeah, it was probably seen more and more of those over, I would say, like the last 4 years. Not just here, but you know, all across the country with campuses doing, colleges and universities doing a giving day. But ours, it's a lot of fun. And I tell you what, it's a ton of work the way that, you know, between the marketing staff on campus, university relations, the foundation, the alumni association kind of engaged so many different constituents and so many different groups that, you know, I think it was over 1,400 donors that contributed. Almost $1.9 million. The goal was $1.862 million, which represents, coincides with the year that we were founded, 1862. We ended up in some total short because the other thing that we were looking for is to have 1,862 donors. So we were short on that side. But over as a campus wise, I think it was a resounding success. From an athletics perspective, we had 200 donors, 199 donors, and almost $88,000 raised. So pleased with, you know, where we ended up, you know, better than where we were last year, both in the terms of both donors and dollars. It's one of those things where you're so appreciative of people stepping up, so appreciative of our staff making contributions, our coaches making contributions, and everybody kind of supporting the effort. And we had a lot of donors that have historically been donors that have supported athletics and the Howling Pack that chose to support some of the other endeavors, which I thought was good as well, because I do think it's important to spread the support throughout all of campus.
Money raised like this, is that something that goes towards like scholarships? Is it just the general athletic type budget? I'm sure people wonder, where do the funds go for Unite for USD?
Yeah, I'm not sure about all the other departments on campus. For us, we put it in our Excellence in Athletics Fund. And that's a fund that we use for, you know, let's say unbudgeted expenses that happen. They could be in and around the needs of our student athletes, the needs, you know, if it's we sent student athletes to conferences before on this. It kind of helps supplement our student assistance fund that we get from the NCAA, which can, you know, help provide meaningful support for athletes in ways that kind of those expenses that just kind of pop up on you. And having girls that have gone through college, it always seems there's unexpected expenses that seem to pop up that just boggle your mind a little bit. But this allows us to support our student athletes in ways that we might not be able to support them otherwise.
Well, obviously, this year was a year a little bit of unbudgeted finances because of reschedules for basketball. Obviously, the men had some games rescheduled, one extending a trip more than they were planning. And now the women's basketball situation. Last Saturday, their game unfortunately postponed at Western Illinois. And I know that's been a process. I don't know if you know the status of that just yet as we're having this conversation, and perhaps that changes by the time somebody hears this conversation. But what's the process now that we're down to the final week of the regular season of trying to figure out if we can make up basketball games?
It's like throwing spaghetti on a wall and seeing what sticks a little bit. The first and foremost thing, since we had a conversation on Tuesday of this week, the Joint Council did, which is the Summit League staff, the athletic directors, and the senior women administrators for every institution, to look at, and we were kind of reviewing about five different potential scenarios. And, you know, first and foremost is determining when Western Illinois will actually be able to play again. And I think right now, assuming everything stays on course, they should be able to play on Saturday. So if they can play the regularly scheduled game on Saturday, then it determines, okay, then what happens next? And so, again, as we've looked at all of these different options, it has a wide ranging of implications because Western Illinois is set to play Omaha and Denver this upcoming weekend, which Omaha and Denver are just fighting for a position in the tournament. And depending on how many games Western gets in, it could be the difference between a 6 seed or a 7 seed. So, you know, first and foremost, do we continue our practices that we have all year long and that is, as these games happen, you reschedule the games in order that they're missed. Well, if that's the case, that is putting us in a situation where Western Illinois, we'd have to play that makeup game against Western Illinois probably on Monday. If that's the direction that we go, you could also consider it a no contest or a forfeit. But again, we haven't forfeited any games this year, so it's really difficult to enter that one into a mix. If we consider our game with them a no contest and we don't play it at all, well, that could potentially affect us for a regular season championship. And if we don't play that one, yet they choose to make up their Western chooses to make up their game against Omaha, well, you can't do that necessarily because that contradicts rescheduling the games in the order that they're canceled. So I would tell you it's a lot of clear as mud right now. We'll have another call probably. We will. By the time this podcast is out, we will have had that other call. The conference will have made a decision. So, and then from there, you just move forward with that in mind. So it sounds and it seems like it's easy, but you have us and South Dakota State there vying for a conference title. If for whatever reason we both win games this weekend, but we can't make up the Western game, that means we're technically they would have one more win than we do, even though we have the same number of losses. And I think that's kind of a put it this way, it's not a very good way to win a conference title or lose a conference title because you couldn't play somebody. Part of that's out of your control, so that would have to be resolved. But a lot of, you know, in our perspective, the other thing comes down to a seeding in the tournament and us seeding in the tournament, one versus a two seed. But all this goes into play in your overall, what we call the net ranking, which the NCAA uses and relies on heavily in selection for the NCAA tournament, both in seeding and at-large bids. So a lot of moving parts on this, but I do think everybody, you know, around the table is on, you know, I think for the most part coming from a very similar scenario where if we're going to continue this, we're going to try to make up games, we need to do it and follow the process and the procedures that we've used all along. So I don't know if I really answered your question, John, but that's kind of the meandering process that we're in, you know, in the midst of.
Yeah, and you know, given the timing of the situation, which is obviously unfortunate because we've been able to make up games the entire year, but given the timing, it just doesn't feel like the league can win in a decision here because there's just not enough time.
Exactly. The only way that you really have enough time, and if you really want to try to get all the games in, would be you would have to, let's say, play our game on Monday, and if they and play that game against Omaha like on Wednesday, but Wednesday is only, you know, 3 days prior to the conference tournament starting, so that kind of puts you behind the eight ball a little bit too. So there's a lot of answers and there's some pitfalls with all of them.
We'll keep an eye on it, and appreciate you explaining kind of the process. I know it's been a lot of things, and it's new to everybody, really, given the timing and everything. So we'll see how it all plays out. Last week, it was the Swimming and Diving Championships in West Fargo, and we'd kind of talked about those that started by the time we had our conversation last week. But what a showing for the men's and women's swimming and diving teams, both in second place last week.
Yeah, that was really something else. And just some, you know, it was interesting as each day kind of unfolded, just seeing not only, you know, seeing personal records fall, but several school records set at the same time. And again, that's kind of when you really want to be swimming your best is at the conference tournament. And, you know, I thought they peaked really well. It was tough to take another whack and try to chop down Denver again, but you know, 2 second place finishes, which, you know, both teams have kind of sat in that top two for about the last 4 or 5 years. And I really hope that, you know, when we get our pool built, it puts our pool and our program on the same level and the types of it and maybe can start to parallel or exceed the success that Denver has had in their swimming and diving program. But wow, awfully proud of that crew to come home with two second place finishes. I know it's not first, but it's second place finishes. And just as important in those 2 second place finishes, we finished ahead of South Dakota State in each one of those. And that's 2 points towards the red in the South Dakota Showdown Series.
Yeah, no doubt. And keep increasing that lead as best we can, as much as we can here over the next few weeks. I know the Mets golf team, they wrapped up their second spring event of the season this week, and they kind of pretty much stayed right in the middle of the pack, it seemed like, as a team. And some of those guys starting to find their shot a little bit.
Yeah, and you'll see them as kind of how it was in the fall, too. They just slowly started to get a little more confidence and get a little bit better. I'd like to think that they can kind of have the same type of trajectory here in the spring, though. As we look outside right there, right now it's, and I'm not sure, it's snowing. So we're not exactly going to get out to the bluffs and get any home course swings in. But they've been doing and playing and working really hard with, you know, despite not being able to get outside. And then, you know, you practice inside all weekend, hitting into a net or just doing chipping and putting on a, you know, a chipping and putting green. But, you know, I think it's going to help them a great deal once we get a little bit more into spring. Imagine that word, spring. So we can actually get outside and put it all together.
Yeah, no doubt. And they'll continue, like you said, getting better. It's kind of like you. Your golf swing at the start of the summer is not as good as it is at the end of the summer, right, when we get through all the coyote outings?
You know what, John? I think mine actually gets worse as the summer goes on. My first, some of my best golf is my first couple rounds because I haven't lapsed that back into all the bad habits again.
Yeah, fair enough. That's spoken like a true amateur right there. This weekend, the Summit League Track and Field Championships, the indoor championships, and seems like obviously we've got some very talented athletes that have had good seasons, so hopefully a good showing this weekend up in Grand Forks.
Yeah, that Friday and Saturday this weekend up in Grand Forks. And so, you know, I'm going to put Lucky on the spot here. I don't know, you weren't at the last lunch with you, but we had him speak. And I think his comment was, if our women don't win it, David Herbster should fire me.
That's strong.
Isn't that strong from him? I'm like, Lucky, you never speak in absolutes. But it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. He feels really good about both our men's and women's programs, maybe more so the women's program against the field, if you will. But, you know, we could finish first in both or third in both. I mean, it's so interesting how, you know, coaches will sit there leading up into especially, you know, both a swim meet and a track meet because they know how everybody's done all year long, and they can look at times and scores and distances, and they're already projecting out what the order is going to be, assuming that everybody does, at the very least, hits their best time of the year. Or close to it. I'm excited to have them go up there and compete and see what they can do. They've had some great performances already this winter. It sounds odd. Well, I guess not. I mean, we just had the swim and dive championships. I mean, indoor track is going to wrap up, but track never really wraps up. I mean, you kind of go from cross country to indoor to outdoor. So they'll roll right on into the next one. But should be, I think everybody ought to kind of pay close attention to Summit League Championship website, and you see as the results start coming in, I think you're going to have a lot of coyotes on the medal stand this weekend.
Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing how that progresses through the weekend. Another thing I know a lot of people are a little bittersweet looking forward to this weekend, a chance to watch the women's basketball team back at home, but also it's senior day, and boy, we have to wrap up a senior class at home that has been phenomenal for the women's basketball program.
Yeah, it's senior day is always a little bittersweet. I mean, it's, you know, it's an opportunity. You know, it's your last regular season home game, but it's certainly a chance to honor and recognize your seniors. And you're right, this group of seniors has been pretty special. Liv Cohn Gable, Reagan Sankey, Chloe Lamb, and Hannah Shervin. Pretty special group on what they've been able to accomplish. And as much as they've accomplished, it has not been easy. You know, we had the COVID year where we won the conference tournament and then just had to sit at home. And then the next year, you get in again, but everything was all in San Antonio, and it probably wasn't the best experience the way they had to play under those conditions. So it's, you know, I'm really, really happy this group has one more chance at a conference title and one of the better teams that we've had, and see what they can do, not only over the course of the conference tournament, but see what happens beyond that. But I think this is one that you'll see Coyote Nation just come out in droves and support this group, but also as the last home game of the year, recognize this team. Because, you know, we're coming in this weekend, you know, we've got, Kansas City on Thursday and Oral Roberts on Saturday. So you've got the number 3 and 4 teams in the league. These are going to be really tough games where it's really, really important. That crowd gives us, you know, always gives us an edge. This is where we need that crowd to be loud, engaged, and involved, because we're going to need all the help we can get for these last two games.
No doubt. And the crowd was certainly engaged last week for the men's final home games, which was great to see. I know you felt that energy on the floor, especially on Saturday with Native American Day and the recognition there, and just a phenomenal crowd in attendance.
It was. I mean, what a powerful kind of pregame ceremonies and activities that we had. That was really something else. For those that had the opportunity to be there, I think it's something special. It's something that we're going to continue to do year in and year out. I think it's a great partnership. I love that opportunity, and you know, it gives us a chance to kind of reflect, acknowledge, and honor. What great partners we've had on campus to do that as well. So, yeah, you'll continue to see that as we move forward.
Yeah, it was great to see they announced all the student athletes that had the Native American heritage and their connection to tribes. I thought that was really unique and really fun to see. So we'll, like you said, continue to do that and continue to grow it as much as we can. All right, let's get to Ask the AD. Got a couple of questions here. I know you mentioned already we talked about swimming and diving, so you mentioned the pool. The question is, how's the pool coming along? Is it still on schedule?
Still on schedule, and the fact that we haven't dug dirt yet, but yes, the planning and the design documents and the construction documents are being worked on right now. The plan would be to start digging this summer. And I say that at the same time as we are still fundraising and doing the things that we need to do to secure financially all the elements that we need for the pool. It's working its way, and it's been positive so far in getting through, you know, the bureaucracy side of things as far as Board of Regents and the legislature and getting all of those approvals. But right now everything sits on target. And that said, okay, so the second half of that question is, in starting this summer, it's going to be in that 18 to 20 month build. So you're probably looking at late 2023 or early 2024 completion of the pool.
That's going to be really neat. It'll be awesome to see that when it's done and continue to grow the swimming and diving programs. All right, two more, and I'm going to save the food one till the end so that you don't get all, don't get distracted too much here for this one. But with recent fights in the handshake lines, obviously there's a crazy weekend in men's basketball and different leagues, but with the recent fights in the handshake, post-game lines, in men's basketball, are you doing anything to work with your team and coaching staff to try to avoid those type of situations?
You know, it's interesting because I think the best thing that we can do is not only have the conversations with our coaching staff, but understand, and we've had the conversations with our teams, knowing to ensure that you don't put yourselves in those situations, and to know kind of the way to go about it. The interesting thing I think about both those situations is they started with the coaching staffs and ended with the players, right? And the coaching and the players are going to back up their coaching staff. So certainly had those conversations with our coaching staff. And remember, this is not just a men's basketball issue. I watched a video this weekend, and it wasn't at the handshake line, but an incident that happened between Morgan State and Norfolk State on the women's basketball side. So it's just not a single gender kind of issue, but it does go towards the level and the high intensity of competition that's out there. I just find it interesting about this time how we've seen so many of these, like, in such a short amount of time, that it's a great time to reflect and have those conversations with our own teams. I thought it was really good at the end of our game against Western Illinois. As hard fought as that game was, as competitive as that was, really kind of heated at times, that at the end of that game, Damani Hayes had the chance from a long pass to even make a layup or a shot or a dunk, and he pulled it out. He's no dummy, right? Because he knows if he makes that shot, he's got to go back and play defense. So just run the clock out, right? But prior to that game, even prior to the final second, the horn sounding, I saw players congratulate each other, hug each other, you know, acknowledge each other. That's what you like to see, a game that can be that hard fought. And yet at the end, you appreciate and respect the competition that you had. It's just unfortunate those other things happened in a handshake line of all things. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, you're almost to the finish line. You couldn't quite make it, so darn it. But hopefully we don't have to deal with that, and hopefully we've seen that. You know, the recent situations have been a reminder for everyone to just go on about your business. All right, last one. When you go out for a nice steak dinner, which cut of steak are you going with? Ribeye, filet, porterhouse, strip, sirloin, or something else?
I would start with the filet, and then the ribeye, and then probably a strip. I haven't had a porterhouse in a long time. You know what else I haven't had in a long time is a T-bone steak. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to go filet number one, ribeye number two.
I'm going with whatever doesn't have a bone in it because that's just too much work to have to work around it. You know what I mean? Just cut it up and eat it. Let's go.
Well, the last thing you want to do is pick up the dang thing in the middle of the restaurant and try to gnaw the rest of the meat off
that's
of
right.
it either. You can do that at home, but not out in public.
Oh, David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. I know it's really, really busy right now with so many things going on, but really appreciate the conversation.
Oh, thanks, John. You stay warm. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. Good stuff from him as always. If you have a question for Ask the AD, you can reply to social media posts or send me an email, yotecast@usd.edu. You can also reach out to me directly if you've got a question for David Herbster. The track and field teams are set for the Indoor Track and Field Championships. They are this weekend, Friday and Saturday, in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And this week I had a chance to catch up with Dylan Couts. He's a runner from just down the road in Norfolk, Nebraska, and has been a speedster for the Coyotes and still just a sophomore athletically thanks to the COVID year. So we had a chance to catch up and talk about his track career and the Indoor Track and Field Championships. Dylan, the indoor season is rapidly coming to a close. You're gearing up for the indoor championships this weekend, and you look back, and I know track season, it can be a long one when you combine indoor and outdoor, obviously, but when you look at indoor season, it just seems like the indoor season just flies by.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, we're competing at some pretty solid meets throughout the whole month of January and February, and then as soon as you know it, here comes conference time, and got to be prepared.
It's coming fast, and you look at the indoor track championships, and you start to look at yourself individually, set some goals. What events are you preparing to compete in, and kind of where are your expectations?
Right now I'm entering in the 60 and the 200, and going into conference I'm sitting second in the 60 and about eighth in the 200, but planning to win the 60 and hopefully improve my seat in the 200.
As you just try to go through improving of a seed, things like that, and move up, how much is track just a focus of not worrying about where you finish, but just kind of little things like how you start, a step here or there?
Especially in the short races, that's a lot to do with your race and just focusing on yourself because you can't worry about the people next to you. You spend the first 2 months of the year preparing on your race and learning to execute your race, and when it comes conference time, you got to be able to do it.
You're from just down the road in Norfolk, not too far away in Nebraska. When you look at the opportunity to compete somewhat close to home, how much did that play into your decision?
It had to do with a lot. I mean, being only a little over an hour away, it's close to home. Family can come up and watch. And, you know, I really like the coaching staff here, so that's what really set it apart, though.
When you talk about the coaching staff, how much have they been a part of your growth? You've only been here a couple of years now. You're with the COVID year, it kind of throws everything off. But how much have they helped you improve your times?
They've helped me a lot. I mean, coming into college, I didn't really take track that serious. Like, I didn't know much. And then I got here, and it's like a whole new sport. You learn all the little things, the stuff that you don't learn in high school, and it just helps make you that much faster.
What was that process like? You go through high school, and I'm sure you had a great career. That's why they were looking at you to come to USD in the first place. And then you go into college, and you realize it's more than just showing up and running. What was that process like for you?
It takes some time, but just learning to focus on yourself, not the others around you, and learning that you have to run your own race. And that's the biggest thing, is being able to run your own race, and success will come.
What are some of the changes that you've individually had to make to try to, increase your success and your times?
Really working on the block start. The first 20 meters of the race, especially in the 60s, has to do a lot with it. So really improving the blocks, getting down to little degrees of your shins when you're in the blocks, and just little stuff like that.
You've had success individually and on relay teams, and when you look at those, do you like one better than the other, being on a relay versus where you in a way you have to work for other people and rely on other people, or individual, it's all up to you?
The 4x1 is by far my favorite event. I think that's the best event in track. Just four fastest guy on a team, see which team's the fastest, and that's really fun to me.
When you talk about the fastest guys on the team, how much do you race the other guys on the team to make sure that you're up there with them?
We're competing every day in practice together. It's at least once a week we're in the box all together racing. And so it's competitive at practice, which is nice, being able to race against other guys who are fast and be able to push you.
You need that as you get yourself ready for competition and some of that. But when you're competing against guys in practice, some of your teammates, how much does that push you individually, and do you hope to push them to continue to ultimately get better where a team could go compete for a conference title?
Yeah, that's the goal, is to win the conference title as a team, and we're all pushing each other every day. All of us want each other to do well, and nothing ever gets too serious where we get mad at each other. So it's a fun environment at practice where we can compete and have fun with it.
Indoor or outdoor? What do you prefer?
Outdoor because of the 4x1 relay.
that's a good – but you have to deal with elements and some of that stuff. How much does that factor into some of your races and some of that, and just the way you have to mentally maybe prepare?
Yeah, the wind and the cold weather around the start of outdoor, it's a lot of mental, I believe, and just knowing what you need to do to get ready and just blocking out the other factors. And other than that, we do a good job of preparing in practice of getting ourselves ready for outdoor.
What do you hope to accomplish in your time at USD, your career? Obviously, you still have some time left here, and you're continuing to work to get better. But ultimately, what do you hope to accomplish?
I want to win individual titles in both the 60 and the 100, and along with that, win team championships when the outdoor and indoor conference time comes. And I think that'd be pretty cool, is winning as a team.
Talk about the group that you get to compete against just, on your team, and some of those guys that you're around. What kind of a group is this that USD has for a track and field team?
Our sprints group is fun. There's a bunch of different personalities. We have fun with it at practice every day, and we have a lot of fast people on the team, which is nice because we come to practice every day and know we're going to get pushed.
What do you do when you're not in track and field?
I tend to play PlayStation 5. That's my go-to to pass time, and right now my game is Madden.
Madden? Kate, so anybody wants a challenge, they can just look you up or what?
Yeah, I'm not the best, but I'm willing to play someone.
It's always trying to get better, right? So
yep.
That's one of your passions. So what are you going to school for? What do you hope to do someday?
I'm an accounting major right now in my junior year, so I'll finish that degree and one more year after this year, and then I plan to get my master's.
You mentioned you're gearing up for the indoor championships this weekend in Grand Forks. So what has been your message to your team as you guys try to go up there and capture that team title?
Just make all the hard work that we've been practicing since September pay off. I mean, we've put in a lot of work for months now, and just go have fun with it.
Dylan, really appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
That's Dylan Couts. He is a track athlete at the University of South Dakota. Good stuff there. Just down the road in North Fork, Nebraska. Good stuff as they prepare. Again, those indoor track and field championships coming up this weekend in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Well, at the top of this thing, I mentioned that great senior class that we have at the University of South Dakota for women's basketball, who have really been great ambassadors to USD. They have been tremendous individuals and just obviously phenomenal basketball players as well. They're part of one of the great eras of women's basketball at the University of South Dakota. And one of those players is Liv Korngable, who came to us from Rochester, Minnesota, and had a great conversation this week with Liv about, biding her time until the playing time came and then making the most of her opportunity. And also just what playing for USD women's basketball has meant to her. So earlier this week, caught up with Liv Korngable. Liv, I'm sure it's hard to believe, but final home games of the regular season and of your career, as you've been here for a while now, and you look at it, have you allowed it to sink in that these are potentially the last home games, definitely of the regular season, but potentially the last home games of your career?
I think it will definitely hit me a bit harder this weekend. I think, you know, you're going through the season, you're going one game at a time, and it feels really long at times, and it's kind of snuck up on me that these are the last two.
Go through the last couple of years. Obviously, you chose to come back for another year. You had that option, and the last couple of years have been really tough for a lot of people with the pandemic and just travel and everything. How has that affected you personally with women's basketball?
I think it's forced us to, you know, stay together and to continue to, like, build camaraderie and chemistry and look for those little moments where we can, you know, just enjoy each other as people and not get so stressed out about, you know, the rescheduling, the traveling, and the long season. So it's, I think, really put an emphasis on togetherness and family.
The last couple of years for you, you've had an increased role with the team and things that you've been able to do. How much fun have the last couple of years been for you?
It's been really fun. You know, it's much more fun to be on the court than on the bench, for sure. And I'm really grateful for that journey where, you know, I had to sit out a little bit and maybe didn't get as many minutes as I wanted. And that journey taught me a lot and gave me a very good work ethic and really good way of how I speak to myself, you know, positive self-talk. But it's been a great journey to be on, and I'm very thankful for, you know, the minutes and the role I've gotten to play.
You know, you talk about your work ethic, and what people don't see behind the scenes is all the extra time that you put in, whether that's an extra 5 minutes of shooting when a practice is over and the rest of the team is lacing up their shoes or changing their shoes, or the extra time that you put in. Where did that drive ultimately come from that made you want to put in that extra time in hopes that it would lead to where you're at right now?
I think that came from my high school coach, Coach Decker. He was a big pusher of, you know, confidence comes from being in the gym, and courage and confidence come from building your skill set. And so I think he really ingrained that in me. And his daughters played collegiately in the Big 12, and so he understood the competitive nature of Division One, and, you know, if you're not improving, someone else is. So he really taught me how I needed to fight for a position and for minutes and for a role.
You know, as you started to get into the starting lineup and get more minutes and started scoring the way that you were, sometimes that brings other expectations, maybe a little added pressure, whether you took it as pressure or not. How did you handle just kind of the, I guess everybody really learning who Liv Corngable could be and not allow it to, you know, affect your game in a negative way?
I think I just carried myself with confidence from my coaches and my teammates, giving me confidence to score the ball. I think that was something that I improved a lot on. It wasn't first nature to me coming into college. I was more of a distributor. So building confidence in the gym, building confidence from communicating with my teammate and coaches, I think that's really kind of helped me to, you know, stay grounded. I think it's easy to get complacent when you get into a role like that, and so continuing to get in the gym, to get crafty with Chloe, and see what she can help me add to my bag, I think that keeps me confident and fearless and just humble and grounded.
What do you think, just being a part of this program and being in college with basketball, what do you think that's taught you on a personal level that you can use now going forward?
I think mainly just self-confidence. I think, you know, that's a harder thing to carry yourself as a woman. A woman, I think, you know, we're kind of told at times, you know, you're too loud, you're too much, you're too passionate or whatever. So I think just this role, this experience has taught me to kind of take up space. And, you know, I can hunt a shot and hunt the one after that. And if I miss, I'm going to hunt it again. And so just kind of just belief in myself. And I think this journey, you know, coming in as a freshman, it's a scary experience. You don't know what to expect. You don't know how you're going to handle it, how the journey's going to go. But I think after conquering this experience, I'm really, really comfortable and confident in my next experiences, which my next experience will be, you know, going on to grad school. And so as a senior, that seems a lot less scary than, you know, when I was a freshman coming into a new experience.
You're closing in on the 1,000th point of your career, and I know there's been a countdown on Twitter and some of that, and an opportunity now, due to unfortunate circumstances of a postponement, to do that at home. When did maybe a scoring number like 1,000 or anything, was that ever a goal for you, or when did it become maybe a milestone or a target for you?
It was never something I really thought of or thought I would get to. I remember sitting down maybe at dinner with Chloe and Taylor Frederick last year. And Taylor's a big numbers girl. She's a high school math teacher. And she was like, Liv, you know, you only need to score like 30 more points a game to get to 1,000 or something like that. I don't remember the exact number, but it seemed like a lot at the time. And I was like, oh golly, I haven't even been thinking about that. But to kind of see that come full circle is kind of a neat experience when, you know, it wasn't something I thought I would get to.
So when you think back to that dinner and that conversation, and at the time you were thinking, wow, that's a big number, I don't think I can score that much. Now to look back on it and realize that you're there, what does that mean to you?
I think it's just kind of a full fruition of my experience here at USD and the journey I've been on, you know, increasing minutes and increasing a role. It's just kind of cool to look back on my progression and the people who helped me get there.
Liv, when you look at the other seniors on this team that will be celebrated on Senior Day, you've got Reagan, you've been around her entire career. Hannah came in, I think it was your freshman year that she redshirted. She was out for the transfer year. Chloe's been around and obviously has made a name for herself. What does this group mean to you?
I think this group is just kind of a combobulation of different personalities and different gifts. And we each kind of give something different or have taught each other something different. You know, Chloe's really bold and fearless. And Reagan is loyal and dedicated and such a hard worker. And Hannah is as hungry as it gets for getting boards and getting shots and winning. And I think just, you know, the combined nature of the four of us have left, you know, an effect or an impact on our younger teammates. And that was kind of one of our goals going into this season, is we wanted to leave a legacy of, you know, bringing those young girls with us and dragging them through the season to allow all of us to kind of come together and share that wisdom and do something great.
When you talk about some of the younger players, and you were in a position, as you mentioned earlier, of not getting as many minutes as you had hoped and trying to find that work ethic and your way onto the floor eventually, what do you tell the younger players who maybe are sitting on the bench? You know, a lot of these players come from a high school where they played a lot. They were a star player, and they don't get as many minutes now. What's your message to them, having kind of lived through that a little bit?
I think it's a big balance of, you know, being patient but also being hungry and motivated. You know, if you're just kind of complacent or, you know, accepting of your role at the time, that's great. It's great that you accept, you know, that this is my role for now and I'll be able to change it. But if you get stuck in that role and you're not putting time in or you're not building confidence, I think it can be tricky. So I would say my advice to players who, you know, are wanting to play more is to balance that patience, but also have a drive and have a hunger to improve.
Liv, you've been a part of one of the great eras of South Dakota women's basketball, and you've had different roles during that stretch. We're talking about conference championships, whether it be a tournament or regular season, trips to the NCAA tournament, some of the things that people wondered if could ever happen here. You've been able to experience a lot. When you get the chance to reflect back on this someday and you start to think back and maybe your team gets brought up in conversations from fans, what do you hope they remember the most about this group?
I hope they remember how hard we played. And I think that's kind of what we talk about before games is, you know, effort should never be questioned by anyone. And if, you know, we're trying our hardest, we're playing our hardest, it's hard to have any regrets at the end of the day. So I really hope that this group is remembered, the past groups. I know I've remembered as very hard workers and people who dove on the floor and, you know, played till their lungs burned. So I hope remembered for that.
What would you say to the fans that you hope come out, obviously, in the final games of the regular season, the fans that have been here throughout your career? At times you've seen this building be louder than I think we ever wondered if it could get, but there have been some great crowds, and at times there could be more people here, certainly, but what's your message to the fans?
I'm so thankful. I told Carter a couple weeks ago on the radio that walking into the SCSC on a women's basketball night is like walking into a warm, big hug. It's so special, especially with women's Division I basketball, to have the crowd that we have. And none of us take that for granted, and we're so thankful and grateful for the fans that, you know, root us on no matter what.
People are going to want to see your basketball career continue as long as it possibly can here for another month or whatever that may be. But when it's all said and done, Liv, what's next for you? What do you hope to do after you get done with USD and with basketball?
I'm planning on attending St. Kate's in St. Paul for a physical therapy doctorate program. I'll be a little bit closer to home, so I'm excited to see my family more. And then, you know, just experience being, having more time, I would say, you know, having more free time to explore other hobbies and interests. But, you know, I'll always be close to basketball, I'll always be close to a game. I'm a lifelong fan, a lifelong Yoke.
Basketball takes up a lot of time. Do you even remember your old hobbies that you did before basketball?
I really don't. I've tried to add some hobbies as, you know, it takes up more time to, you know, release stress or what have you. So I've tried crocheting. I'm not too good at that. That's still a work in progress. Trying to read more, read for pleasure more. And then, you know, do something creative once in a while. I think that's a great de-stressing tool for me.
Well, we hope to see you play a lot more games at USD before it's all said and done, Liv, and certainly for a lot of people, grateful that you had the opportunity to come here and be a part of this program. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the year and everything going forward.
Thank you, John. Go Yotes!
That's Liv Corngable, a women's basketball player for the University of South Dakota. Get out and support the seniors this weekend. Saturday, it's the final home game of the year for women's basketball. They'll celebrate Senior Day, all that good stuff, and hopefully we'll see a lot more basketball out of this senior class as well as they continue to get through the postseason and whatever is to come for them as well. So great stuff with Liv, and my thanks to Liv Corngable, Dylan Couts, and also David Herbster for joining the podcast this week. All right, let's get into what's going on in Coyote Athletics, get you updated on the very, very latest of Coyote Athletics. Coming up for Thursday night, men's basketball is on the road at Kansas City. Coyotes are locked into the 4-5 seed in the upcoming Summit League tournament, but still battling out the remainder of the regular season schedule. So we'll see how that goes. You can catch that on a Thursday night, and you can hear it on the Coyote Sports Network. Also on the Coyote Sports Network on Thursday night, the Coyote women take on Kansas City at home, and That game tips off. Both of them tip off at 7 o'clock. Coming up on Friday, the women's golf team opens up play at the Rio Verde Invite in Arizona. It's their second spring invite of the year. They'll play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in that golf event. Of course, on Friday, as we've already talked about, track and field gets its indoor championships underway. They're in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Those compete on Friday and Saturday. Softball is in Miami, Florida. They will take on Brown on Friday morning, and then Friday afternoon they will play Florida International, the host of the event in Miami. And so softball continues. They've had 2 4-1 weekends. They're 8-2 on the season. On Friday, the women's tennis team takes on Morningside in Sioux Falls inside the Huther Family Tennis Center. And then on Saturday, we already mentioned golf, track and field continues. Softball will play Drexel in the morning in Miami at that event. Also, they'll take on Stony Brook later in the day. Also on Saturday, women's basketball will host Oral Roberts, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You can hear it on the Coyote Sports Network with Carter Woodiel. And that is senior day for women's basketball. The men's basketball team has a night game down in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Oral Roberts. It's a 7 o'clock start time. We're on the air on the Coyote Sports Network beginning at 6:30 that night. The women's golf team continues on Sunday as they'll be wrapping up round number 3 of the Rio Verde Invitational, and softball wraps up its stay in Miami with a game against Stony Brook. That is in the morning on Sunday, so hopefully softball can have another successful weekend. And then don't forget, next week we're gearing up for the upcoming Summit League tournament. We know the men will play in the 4-5 matchup. That is at 6 o'clock on Sunday, so make your plans for that game. And the women, obviously, still fighting between the number 1 and number 2 seeds, trying to lock those in for the upcoming Summit League tournament, which, of course, get underway on Saturday. And do note, if you maybe remember, maybe you don't, but there are new times for the basketball games in women's basketball, at least at the Summit League tournament. It used to always be 12 and 2:30. This year, it's new. It's 12:30 and 3 o'clock that they will play those games in the Denny Sanford Premier Center in Sioux Falls. So note the time changes. If it becomes a factor wherever you need to get to for those games, but do know the men's basketball team is locked into that 4-5 matchup. They'll play at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. The opponent is still to be determined. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Catch a game, match, or meet very, very soon. For ticket information, as always, go to goyotes.com or call 605-677-5959. That's it for me this week. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. And until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.